We pray this morning, Lord, for Landon as he again prepares to leave here soon. We ask that you would bless him here at home and also as he goes, just care for him. We pray for those that are in Bible school this morning. We ask that you would just care for them also. And for those that are serving in other areas, Lord, just bless them, keep them. We pray this morning for Harold, Lord. We ask that you would just give him direction and wisdom this morning as he shares. And Father, I pray that our ears would be in tune, that our hearts would be in tune, our minds would be in tune, that we're willing and ready, Lord, to receive what you have for us. May your name be glorified this morning. That's our goal, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Bless you.
Welcome. Good to be together this Easter Sunday morning. The message that I want to share this morning I've entitled The Power of the Resurrection. And this morning I don't have a list of questions, I simply have one question that I want you to think about. What power am I experiencing as a result of the resurrection? We grow up hearing the story of Christ's suffering and death, his resurrection, all that goes with it, and it's so easy for that to just become a fact. We don't necessarily question it. We might. But probably not too extensively. But the thing that I wonder about it is, how does the resurrection actually change anything in me? That's what I want us to think about. There is so much in the scripture about the resurrection and power. We could spend all afternoon here going through just a few notes that I have found. But it's a very interesting subject, and I want you to understand this is not a criticism. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm asking myself the same question. I think God wants us to have an answer for this. I think that's part of the reason why we have the resurrection. Not getting any action here. So I think that it's important for us to ask ourselves, you know, because one of the things that I'm concerned with personally is there are so many things that we grow up with having grown up in a Christian culture. There are so many things that we grow up with that we just accept. Some people reject them. But we don't really think them through a lot of times, and we don't really embrace them in a life-changing manner. Here's something I want us to think about from Romans chapter 6. For if we have been planted together, and Paul uses some very understandable illustration for us. He's talking about seeds. If we have been planted together. So here's a seed trench. Here's you and here's I and here's Christ. Planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Here's what I want us to pay attention to. This comes in three areas, three levels: our spirit, our soul, and our body. So when we died in Christ, God seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that. That's something that's important for us to know. That happens in our spirit. Our spirit is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if we've died in Jesus Christ. Secondly, when we died in Jesus Christ, He began the process of sanctification in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. So God is at work doing that in us, and we also at the same time yield our members, our body, as instruments unto God. So that happens and that continues to happen, and the purpose of that, Galatians 4:19 says that Christ can be formed in us. Now, think about this imagery. We're planted in the likeness of His death. In a sense, Jesus was planted into the tomb. Now, in one sense, in the sense of being God, Jesus never died. But in the sense of being man, humanity, He died. His physical body died. And we know that seed has life within it. But that life can only come forth as the seed is planted, and as that seed experiences death and then brings forth life. And Paul's giving us a picture here, helping us to understand. So our goal as Christians is to be like Jesus, right? Is that your goal? It needs to be. So we start to be like Jesus by being planted in His death, and then we also experience the likeness of resurrection, of new life, of growing into Christ. Now, God gives us good gifts. He's given us the written word so that we have an instructive record of the word, the living word. This is so important for us. If we go to the scriptures looking for anything other than Christ, we are going to go down a wrong trail. All the scriptures point to Christ. All. I think Leroy Yoder used to teach a class, Christ in All the Scriptures. And he did a super job of just showing how Christ was in all the scripture. So the written word is an instructive record of the living word. So if we're going to the scriptures to find rules, if we're going to the scriptures to find ways to make other people behave, whatever we're trying to do, other than finding Christ, we have a wrong motive and we are going to end up with wrong results. It's like, you know, like I've talked about before, when we ask the wrong question, we get the wrong answer automatically. So we have to ask the right question to start with. Now, He's given us the living Word, Christ Jesus, as the breath of life. And when we talk about breath, there's two parts to breath. Inhale, exhale, right? We breathe in, we breathe out. We need the living Word. We need to breathe Him in so that we can breathe Him out. That's so important. So basic. In Genesis 1, God said, God spoke, God breathed, God exhaled, and life was created. We need to inhale and exhale. And then we could go to John chapter 3, verse 3 and look at that as well. Now, the other thing that he's given us, a 24/7, 365, till death hotline for any need that we have. And he talks about that as our high priest, Jesus Christ, and says we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. We can come with confidence to that throne of grace. And then he's also given us this personal assistant to be with us 24/7, 365 till death. This personal assistant right here with us all the time. His name is Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, 17, back in there, Jesus talks quite a bit about him in his high priestly prayer. So God has given us all these gifts that come as part of this resurrection package, part of this picture that he's giving to us. Now, where my thoughts really started on this message were in Ephesians chapter 1. And I find this very fascinating. The Apostle Paul has just laid out all that God has made available to us. Made us sons, given us all kinds of gifts. He says he's given us all of the spiritual things from heaven that he could possibly give to us. But then he goes on down and he says he's praying for the saints that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding can be opened. The picture here is not that we can see with these eyes or understand with this brain. He's talking about the eyes of our spirit, our soul being opened so that we can understand with the intent of embracing and living it out. He's not talking about us getting knowledge. Although, you know, we have to have that knowledge. That's not the end result. He says, so that you may know. And this know here is intimate experience. So that you may intimately experience three things. The hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the power of his resurrection. So he's laying these things out for us, and he says, this is toward us who believe. This power of resurrection is toward us who believe, even his eternal power and Godhead. So he's telling us that the Apostle Paul was praying this for you and me and for all believers. That we can have these three things be reality in our life. The hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the power of his resurrection. Now let me ask you something. What does life look like if you have those three things well in hand? You've got hope, confidence, you've got riches, and you've got power. Changes life, doesn't it? So Paul is saying, look, and this last one is where we want to focus this morning. I want you to know the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. What he's saying is, the resurrection power, that power that raised Jesus from the dead, is not just for Jesus. It's for us. We receive it through Christ. It affects how we live. Now, Peter picks up on this same thing over in 1 Peter when he's starting to write his letter to the suffering saints. He picks this up and he says, well, okay, that's the rest of how he raised Christ from the dead there. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, who are kept by the power of God. So he picks up on the exact same things that Paul talked about in Ephesians. So they're both focused on this. It's so important for us. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, there's a number of contrasts. He contrasts corruption and incorruption, mortal, immortality, dishonor and glory, weakness and power, natural and spiritual. I'm not going to take time to go into all of that. But I want us to notice what the scriptures talk to us about as far as what resurrection power looks like in our lives. And I just simply want us to ask ourselves this question as we look at these. Is this something that I experience? Now, we've already established that it's God's intention for us to experience it. So I just want us to ask, is this something I experience? Am I living what God intends for me to live? Have I received what God intended for me to receive? Am I giving what God intends for me to give? Over in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Awesome. They had the power to witness to the resurrection. Secondly, there's this idea of small beginnings and a big result. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, the resurrection chapter, talks about it's sown in dishonor. When Jesus was placed in the tomb, was that a sign of honor or dishonor? Dishonor. It was about as disgraceful as could happen to a human being to be crucified and then placed into this tomb. It actually would have been more disgraceful had his body been cast outside the city, had not Joseph allowed him to use his tomb. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. You see, Jesus, when he was placed in the tomb, the perception was a perception of weakness. You remember there on the cross, they taunted him. If you're the Son of God, why don't you save yourself? Why don't you get down from the cross? See, you're weak. But that weakness turned into power. And so I think that's important for us to remember too. Paul said this about himself. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. Then I'm strong. It's interesting, there's two different words for power that are used in the Greek. The one has the idea of authority, and the other is the word we get the word dynamite from. It's intense power, explosive power. Most of the power that the New Testament talks about in relation to resurrection, in relation to how we live, is the intense power. We have authority. We enter into that intense power by receiving authority, the right to become the sons of God. But this power then becomes an intense power. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, he says, he was crucified through weakness, obviously. Yet he lives by the power of God. And we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So he says, just like Christ experienced weakness and then power, the same thing is true for us. The way to experience power is first to experience weakness, to experience death, to be planted into death. The power to patience and long-suffering with joy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. All the power, all the strength that you and I could need or use or have. According to His glorious power. And I probably don't need to do this, but I'm going to anyway. And that's just to remind us about this word, according to. So there's out of and there's according to. If we were strengthened with might out of the power of God, we would have a lot of power. But when we're strengthened with might according to the power of God, that is a direct reflection of His power being given to us. So, you know, we can understand it this way. If Elon Musk gave us out of the $43 billion that he's offered Twitter, he could give us a penny. And we would have received out of that $43 billion. But if he gives us according to the $43 billion, it's going to be a pretty good check. That's what Paul is saying about the power of God. Power so that we are able to have patience with long suffering and joy that goes along with it. I think that's the kind of power that I want, that I need. So we have work and faith and power being connected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. And you notice Paul does a lot of praying for the church. He has a lot of things he's praying for. So here's another thing that he's praying for the church, just like he did in Ephesians, that we know the hope of his calling and the power, the riches of his inheritance, the power of his resurrection. Here he's saying, I'm praying for you always that God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. He's saying, I want God to work through you so that faith becomes real and powerful in your lives. Not just a dead faith, not just a weak faith, not just a faith that's based on man's understanding, but a faith that comes from God. A faith that works with power. Now, Paul does this in several occasions. He says, look, I'm not interested in what you have to say about the resurrection. You can talk all day long about what can happen. You can talk all day long about how things happen. You can argue and you can discuss and you can theologize and you can come up with all this stuff. But he says, what, at the end of the day, I don't care about the words. I want to know how this works in your life. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 4 and 5. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. What's a demonstration? Yeah, we show how to do something. We show how it works. You know, you can have this machine sitting here and you can tell everybody what it does. But the best way to sell it is to have it do it, right? You have that machine do what it's advertised to do, and people say, oh, wow. That's what Paul's saying. He says, my preaching wasn't about all this fancy stuff and what could be and all this stuff. He says, my preaching was in demonstration with power. So your faith wouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What we have, we reproduce. What we are, we reproduce. So if my faith is in my head, it's a faith based on knowledge, then I am going to reproduce faith based on knowledge. Paul's saying, look, I'm not there. My faith is a faith that's based on power, the power of the resurrection in my life, and I am reproducing that kind of a faith, that kind of a life. Says the same thing again. 1 Corinthians 4:19-20. I'm going to come to you shortly. And I'm going to find out. Not what you're saying about all of this, but what's your power? What's really going on in your life? For the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. You see, Jesus could stand there all day long and say, I am the resurrection and the life. But if he didn't come out of that tomb, he don't have it. Same thing for us. We can talk all day long about the power of God. But if that power of God isn't able to change my life, to change how I treat people, to change how I talk about people, to fill my heart with His love. If that's not happening, don't talk to me about it. That's what Paul's saying. It's got to be real. It's got to be something that's going on inside of me and working out of me. Or else it's not the kingdom of God. In fact, he tells Timothy, there's a lot of people around, Timothy. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. That's pretty sad. That's really sad. We who are supposed to know the power of God just show up with a form. You know what a form is? How many of you ever filled out a form? What is a form? Basically, it's something to get information, isn't it? It's something that's very reproducible and very easy to work through. He says, no. Just having that form, that paper, where you've checked all the marks and you filled in the blanks, no. No. That's not it. There's plenty of people out there that have that. All across the world, it does not matter what religion, what denomination, there's plenty of people in every one that have that form of godliness. But is the power a reality? Here's what Paul says in Philippians. He says, look, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to be so close to him that my heart beats with his heart. That he speaks and I listen and it happens. That's what I want. And you see that being worked out and played out through Paul's life. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to experience. I want to be intimate with that. I want that to be a part of my life. I want that to be a reality. I want that to be what motivates me, what moves me, what pushes me, what propels me. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. In other words, my life can be planted into death so that resurrection can take forth, can come forth. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, look, this is about living. It's about living life. It's also about living life. You get that? Paul says, this is about living life. It's also about living life. You see that? I want to know the power of his resurrection in life so that I might attain to the resurrection in life, eternal life. Okay? So, one of the things about resurrection is this. There is a power that is necessary for resurrection to happen. And it is a very specific power. It is a very important power. It is the power of an endless life. And he says in Hebrews chapter 7, he's talking about how Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's made not by a law, some carnal. Jesus did not become a priest because he was of the sons of Levi. He didn't become a priest because there was some commandment that was given that he needed to become a priest. He became a priest because he had the power of an endless life. He deserved the priesthood. The only person on earth that ever deserved the priesthood. And he deserved it because of his power. The power of an endless life. No beginning, no end. That's how Melchizedek is described. Had no beginning of days nor end of life. And Jesus Christ is made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek because he has the power of an endless life. No beginning, no end. Now, obviously, you and I can only obtain that power in one way. If we're planted together in the likeness of his death, then we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's how that happens. Great grace is a result. We looked at this verse already, but I just want us to notice this, that great grace is the result of the power of the resurrection. I'm always alarmed when people are afraid of the word grace. Great grace was upon them all. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. Not in what we say, not in what we know, not in what's written on paper, but what's written on our hearts and comes out through life. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so amazed. We're just overwhelmed when we stop and think. Like Paul said, that the excellency of the power might not be of us, but of you. We're just amazed that you would even consider taking poor, vile, wretched, rebellious, miserable human beings and allowing us to participate and to receive that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Lord, I confess this morning that I need that power. I want that power. I want that life of Christ in me, working effectually till Christ is formed in me. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit work in each of our hearts this morning, that that be each of our desire. That it not be about talk. That it not be about some fancy speech or some form that we've filled out, but it be about your power at work in and through us. We thank you for the resurrection, and we bless your name today, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.